Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inspired Word of God that we were just able to listen to and to read, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you inspired it and you've preserved it for us forever, Lord. And that when we read it, we can know that we're not just reading Moses' words, but your words, Lord. And we thank you for all the meaning that was contained in that passage about atonement for sin, Lord, and about the priest's office. And we think of our Lord Jesus, and we think about him being our high priest now, and how he has atoned for our sin. And he not only covered sin as it was in the Old Testament, but he's completely removed it from us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for his blood that was shed for us. We thank you for his holiness. We certainly don't deserve this, Lord. And we are thankful, though, for it. And we're thankful that you chose us, Lord. We pray for those who don't know the saving grace of Christ yet. And we do pray that more and more will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus before it's too late. We pray, Lord, that in our individual lives that we will reflect the grace that you've given to us, the mercy that you've given to us every day, and help us to be motivated by that to witness to others who don't know you, who don't know your Son. We thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and for his work in our lives to change us. And Lord, we just pray that we would submit ourselves to you more and more every day to realize that our bodies and lives are yours now, and that we are to use them to glorify you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be the same way in our workplaces and among our families as we are here in church, Lord. Help us to not be two different people, Lord, but to witness for Christ in our workplaces, among our family members. Help us to not give two messages, Lord, but one clear message about what you have done for us, Lord. We just pray for also, Lord, to be reminded of our sins, and not just the sins that we committed before we were saved by you, but also our daily sins, and help us to be cognizant of those sins and to come and confess them to you quickly, Lord, and to not continue to walk in darkness, but to walk in light, Lord, as you've called us to walk in your light. And we just pray, Lord, that you would change us more and more into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for this place, Lord, where we can come and have a quiet time of learning. And Lord, we're here more than just to gather head knowledge, but we're here to be changed so that we can have a better understanding of you and give you the praise that you are worthy to receive, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, and we thank you for his wife. We thank you for their years of service to you, for the teaching that they have provided in this place. We're thankful also for Pastor Postiff and for his wife and two sons now, Lord, and for the teaching that they have partaken in. Just pray that you'll bless them in years to come too, Lord. We do pray for the salvation of those two boys, and just pray that in your good time, Lord, that you'll save them too. We thank you also for our other teachers, for Brother James and for anybody else who is involved in the teaching ministry, Lord. In the Sunday school classes, there's very many, and we just pray that you'll continue to allow for the Word of God to be taught in this place. We pray that you'll continue to preserve the type of music that is sung in this place. We thank you for Andy and for Lem this morning as they were playing on the piano and organ, Lord. And thank you also for Michelle and Naomi and for the others who sing in this assembly and partake in that ministry. We thank you for keeping the doors open in this place, Lord, and for providing for multiple meetings during the week. And we just pray, Lord, that they'll be more attended and that people will give of their time unto you, Lord. We all have the same amount of time. It's just how we use that time. And we just pray that you'll work on our hearts and help us to get rid of those things that are worthless in our life, those things that are not beneficial, and help us to give more to you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for our missionaries this morning, those who witness to both Jews and Gentiles, And we pray, Lord, that you will open doors of opportunities for these people who are out there putting themselves on the line, who have sacrificed in many instances financially and in many other ways, Lord, to go out there and to share the gospel in an unfamiliar region, Lord. And we just pray that you'd bless them today. And we pray for those of us who are left here. We have many people here in Ann Arbor, certainly, who are unsaved, Lord. And we pray that we would consider this to be just as much of a mission field as those regions abroad, Lord. We also want to thank you this morning for the people here, Lord, who are in this assembly. I thank you for convicting their heart to be here this morning. And I pray for those especially that are older, Lord, and have physical afflictions, and for the efforts that they made this morning to be here because they love you, Lord, and because they love the brethren. Thank you for Mrs. Balakovich and for the efforts that she made this morning. Thank you for Chuck and Joyce Cartwright, Lord. Just pray that you'd bless all three of those people. We thank you for Brother George Jordan and for his wife and for providing them with the strength to be here this morning. We do think also of their grandson, Russell, and pray that you'll give him the strength that he needs too, Lord. And we pray that you will give him and his family comfort, Lord, and give them the proper discernment with regard to whether or not to have a transplant or not, and just help them to make the right decision, Lord. And we just pray that you'd bless that family. Pray also for the Beards, and thank you for their efforts this morning, for the Cornelakises, for Mrs. Worthington. We thank you for Mrs. Crowner too, Lord. And we thank you also for those saints who used to partake here but who no longer are able to come, for Ethel Panero and for Mary Pine, Lord. And just pray that you'll provide them with a nice place to be this morning, and maybe even surround them with some Christian people in some way, Lord. We just pray for all those souls. And we pray also, Lord, this morning for our families and this place, and just pray that you'll help the family structure in each and everyone's home to be pleasing unto you, and to help them to share the gospel and the whole word of God with their children. And we pray that all these children also will be considered part of that mission field, Lord. And we just pray that each and every soul who's here today would be saved according to your good time and pleasure, Lord. We thank you for all these blessings, for all these people, and for all these souls who are here this morning, Lord. And we thank you for our country. We thank you that we have the freedom to come here this morning to worship you without any fear of persecution whatsoever, Lord. We often consider somebody talking about us persecution, but it certainly isn't, Lord. And so we just pray that we'll use these benefits to your glory and praise, Lord. Pray for the teaching of the word coming up this morning, Lord. Pray that you'll give pastor strength as he teaches the word of God. We pray that the saints will be built up in the faith as a result of what's taught this morning, and that our lives would be changed. We pray also for the meeting tonight, Lord, and for Timothy training. We pray that you'll bring people back for that, Lord. Today is your day. We meet today because your son was resurrected on this day, and we just pray that you'll help us to keep that in mind, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to pray, Lord, and to pray for the people who are here this morning, Lord. It's just such a privilege. I thank you for that, and I praise you in your son's name, the Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Nice to have you all here this morning. We thank you for coming, and we pray that the word of God that has been prepared will be a great blessing to your heart. The announcements are in the bulletin. Come on in, friends. Yes, come in and join us. Thank you. Welcome. All right. The items that are needful are in the bulletin for you to read this morning. Trust that you'll just take notice of them and do it, whatever is necessary in regard to yourself. Now, Tuesday, I understand, is is a sweetheart day when the women take the men out. I have a lady over here on my right who just would like to turn that around. But I will make a very helpful announcement for you. If you are 50 years married or more, there's a place here in town that will give you a free lunch. So that's, you know, if you're planning to take your good lady out, this is the place to go. Because it's free. I thought that some of you might like to take advantage of that. I was trying to figure out where to take my wife, but I found out where I'm going to take her. Okay. So, George, that's a chance for you. How about you, Gene?
Negative.
Negative. You can't make it. Anybody else 50 years or old? No. It's a shame. At any rate. John Cornelakis, aren't you 50 years?
Close.
Well, maybe I can get you on my coattails. Okay. Tonight's a teaching of the Word again at 6 o'clock. Please come back and learn more of God's precious Word. We're so happy to see you today. And we're happy that Kevin decided to come. We have one strike against him, though. He forgot to bring his razor, so he's got a little bit of a beard there. But the beards didn't come, so he can take their place. Thank you very much for coming. It's a joy to have you. Thank you. All right. If you have some of the Lord's money and you want to share it with us here at this assembly, this is your opportunity to give, not as unto us, but as unto the Lord, and show forth your love for Him. We'll ask you to come, please. straight. Thank you. Let's all stand and sing to the Lord, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Brother James, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have musical. Are you singing today? You wrote this for me. Who's singing? Oh, you too. All right. All right. It doesn't say. Yes, I didn't know. I'm sorry, ladies.
Jesus says, this is life.
Next, a hymn, Wonderful Words of Life, hymn number 421. 421. And while we're singing that, the children will have the opportunity to go out and have some studies on their own level. Hymn number 421. Shall we stand, please?
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Sing more of the truth you see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, Christ, the blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinners to the loving one, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, moving us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words,
how do you go to heaven anyway? Some people say they don't want to go there. Well, if you were to tell somebody how to get there, how would you tell them to have access to God? Let's have a word of prayer and I'll answer a few questions. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this morning for Thy Word. And we just pray that the Spirit of God will teach us this morning. There are so many wonderful things here for us to learn. And I pray that our hearts may be responsive to the written word of the living God. I pray in Jesus' name and with much thanksgiving. Amen. Will you turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, please? Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. The book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse number 1. I had the opportunity yesterday to visit a hospital down in Southfield. And on my way out of the hospital room, I decided to pause to the person who was right next to the person I was visiting. And this lady was obviously having very great difficulties to breathe. And her daughter was standing next to the bed. So I said, do you mind if I have a prayer for her? Is that your mother? She said, yes. Do you mind if I pray for her and you? She said, no, do so. And while I was praying, she said a few amens for me. And so I felt that she must know the Lord. So when I finished, I said, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? She said, well, yes, I do. And she said, thank you very much. I gave her a couple of gospel tracts, but she was so grateful that I had a chance to pray with her mother and her. Then we went downstairs took the lift down to the first floor again. And I needed some directions to go to my next stop. So I talked to the man who was a security man at the telephone. And I told him where I wanted to go, and I said, would you mind showing me the best way to go? He said, oh, yes, just go out here and turn left and then follow these directions, which I did. But I said, by the way, I'd like to give you a little portion of God's Word. I went in my pocket and gave him a couple of tracts. He said, thank you. I'll be happy to read that. In the meantime, there's a girl sitting next to him, and she was smiling. So I said, I'd like to give you one, too. Well, she said, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. And then she wanted to show her T-shirt, but she said it had a sweater over it, so it didn't come out nicely. But it was interesting that I was trying to tell people how to get to heaven. I don't know. I pass out a lot of tracts. I'm not afraid of that. Some people are scared to death to pass out a tract. They almost slip a tract, you know, and say, I hope he doesn't see me giving it to him, or something like that. I don't care about that. I'm too old about that now. But in any case, I pass out the tracts, but I have never yet had anybody respond that I know of. But God knows. When I went to Africa, to Central Africa, I took some films with me, and we used to show these films. One was Suicide Mountain. And this keeps bugging me to remind myself, pass out a tract, you never know how it's going to turn out. The story of Suicide Mountain was something like this. And it happened in Japan, by the way, Josh. And a girl there came to know the Lord as her Savior. And she came from a Buddhist home. So this caused all kinds of confusion and difficulties, especially with her father. Anyway, the girl witnessed her father, and she gave him a tract which came from Fred Porter in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, that is not a very colorful tract. It's got a lot of red print on it and some black stuff, and it's very crowded. It's not the kind I would like to pass out. But she gave that to her father, and he stuck it in his pocket. He was so distressed over his daughter that he wanted to commit suicide. So he went to what was called the Suicide Mountain. Ready to throw himself over, he reached in his pocket, pulled out the tract. He changed his mind, went down the mountain, sought out his daughter, said to him, why don't you be saved? God save that man. Don't pass up an opportunity. I don't believe in just promiscuously doing it, but appropriately, when you have opportunity, with good opportunities, seize them. Take hold of the opportunity. Don't be afraid of people. And when you go out for dinner and you want to leave a little gift for the girl who's waiting on you or somebody, pass along a gospel tract. Give it to them personally. Don't try to just leave it there and say, I hope she doesn't see what I left or whatever that. Just do it in an appropriate way to the glory of the Lord. God will bless that. People need to go to heaven. People need to get to know God. How do you get to know God? Romans 5 says, verse number 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. I believe that is not let us have peace, justive, but a declarative statement. We have peace because we're justified through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. We have access. There's only one way to get to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get access there. And it's so important that you know how to get to God. I want to address some of you who are not believers this morning, first of all, by what I've said. And then I want to spend some time with you who do profess to know the Lord and talk about access. Because really, that's what we're talking about, access. I don't have a ticket to give to you and say, well, this is, you use this and you'll get in someplace. But I can tell you that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is your way to get to heaven. That's the only access you'll ever have. Without Him, you'll never make it. And I've listed a whole series there for you at the beginning to show you that Christ is the only one. Very, very important. This book is all about Him, but He is the one through whom you have access. And if I were to summarize the book of Hebrews, I would say it's talking about access. How do I get to go and to know God? How can I get to Him? Spend time in the book of Hebrews. Spend time before the Lord in that wonderful book. And I want to share with you this morning two sections that are in our notes. One has to do with the priest, and one has to do with the tabernacle itself. And just 2 points that are there for you. And the purpose that God has outlined here for you. Will you go to the Hebrews passage this morning, chapter 9, beginning at verse number 6. Now when these things were ordained, or when they were set down, the things He's talked about in verses 1 to 5, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Would you kindly put that in for me, Brother Matt? Thank you. I want to just remind you of what we put on the overhead last week. The tabernacle was divided into two sections. The first section is called the Holy Place. The second section, or the Holy of Holies, or the Holy of Holinesses. God is a God of holiness. And He has these two places. That's the plan of the tabernacle. You came in to the brazen altar, but it was inside the confines of the tabernacle area, but not inside the holy place. Only the priests went in the holy place. Only the high priest went in the Holy of Holies. But you notice that if a man wanted to come in, he had to come to the gate. And he brought his goats or his bullocks or whatever he needed to go to the brazen altar. That's where his sacrifice. Nobody came without a sacrifice. This is an incredible thing. What did you bring to here this morning? You didn't bring a sacrifice. You just came. And you said, Pastor, I hope you think it's wonderful that I'm here today. Yeah. Well, listen. It's a privilege for me to have you here, but it's a privilege for you to be here. Just remember that up there, everybody who wanted to get near to God had to start with a brazen altar. They had to come with a sacrifice. You must come here with a sacrifice to know the Lord. You cannot draw near to God without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can go through the forms. You can sing. You can pray. You can read the Bible. You can do all the stuff that's supposed to be done. But you can go out of here as dead as a doornail. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's only one way to get access to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice that the sacrifice was a sacrifice of blood. And God is still asking for that. And that's why we sang this morning, thank the Lord, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You don't get there any other way. Access to God is through blood. And then they had the laver, and then the priest washed himself and then went inside the holy place. There were the showbread up on the top there, the candlesticks at the bottom, and then the altar of incense, which was just outside the holy place. Very near to the place where God was in a very special way. But there was a veil between there. And that's what this text is all about today. What happened to the veil? Can I say this without offending any of you? Many who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are in the holy place. They've had the sacrifice. The priest has washed himself. He's gone into the holy place in your behalf. Fine. You know what the holy place is all about. You know the showbread, Jesus, the bread of life. You know the candlestick, Jesus, the light of the world. You know, the altar of incense is the sweet savor before the Lord. You know all that. But that's as far as you've gone. You haven't gone inside the veil. That's the key for our text today. Listen carefully, my friend. Very, very important, intently. All my life I've been preaching the word of the Lord, but the great disappointment is that professing believers live haphazard lives. They live lives that really don't count for God. Our brother prayed for us this morning. Jim Metz always used to pray in my office, "Lord, change us when we go in there." We need to be changed. You can't be just meat and potatoes Christians. You got to have the desserts. Got to be more to it. So much of Christian living is just, well, I have to go through this, so I'll do it. The privilege to memorize Scripture, what a privilege. It's not a drag on you. Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. To attend church, to be with God's people, that ought to be the greatest opportunity and privilege in your heart. This is the Lord's Day. I'm surprised. You pardon me for saying this. No, don't pardon me. What do you do on the Lord's Day? The day that belongs to Him. You say, well, we're not under the law. We don't have a Shabbat. We don't have a Sabbath. But you have a Lord's Day. It's in the Bible. It belongs to Him. What do you do on that day? Some people decide to do what they want to do. Hey, you ought to be in the Bible. You ought to be occupied in what He should be doing. When we started Timothy training here, the thought was, well, what day do we do? Somebody said, well, let's do it on the Lord's Day. That's His day. You think we can get 100 people out there or 50 people? Come on, who's kidding who? They're doing other things. That's a day of rest. That's a day I can catch up on what I didn't do during the week. Well, maybe you don't know what it means to be on the inside of the veil. Well, let's talk about these things. Look at them, please, in verse number 6. The priest went always. This is his constant responsibility. And beloved, he went into the first tabernacle, that's the first section, the holy place, to accomplish the service of God. He was there because he was serving God. This was his responsibility. But into the second went the high priest alone, and he only did that once every year. He went in there alone. If you read Exodus chapter 28, one of the most wonderful things about that priest's garment was he had some bells on the bottom of his garments so that he wouldn't die when he went inside. And it would also indicate that he was alive doing the will of God. And he didn't go in there unless he had some blood. I asked his brother to read that entire chapter today. That was the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month. It's still being remembered. And then it says, he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost was thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. You couldn't get inside. The access was not there. Romans chapter 5 says we have access. But at this time, there wasn't access. You notice why. While the first tabernacle was yet standing. In other words, while the first testament, this tabernacle that belonged to the first testament, the Mosaic arrangement, as long as that was standing, you couldn't get into the Holy of Holies. But that first tabernacle was a figure for the time then present. for the time that the law prevailed, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertained to the conscience. Why? Because it only stood in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. The normal priest went into that first area and he did his job. And whatever he did it as unto God. It was a service unto God. That's what the word latruo means. A service unto God. He wasn't wasting his time. He did what he was supposed to do. Did God instruct Moses to do this? Of course he did. This morning we read in the 16th chapter, Moses did everything that he was told to do. Was the plan that we've got in front of us in God's will and purpose? Of course it was. But it was preparatory to what was yet to come. It was not the final way. If it were the final way, then the whole book of Galatians would be thrown out of your Bible. If it were the final way, then Romans would not be in their Bibles. A most important text. Let me read it with you, please. John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. I'm sorry, 17 is what I want. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean there was no grace and no truth in the Old Testament, but as an administration, as a way of dealing with people, things changed when Jesus Christ came. Sure, there's law under grace and truth, just as there's grace and truth under law. But as an administration, a way of God dealing with people, this is one of the most important texts in your whole Bible. Do you understand that things changed when the Lord came? When He came, what was being done here was not outmoded, as if to say, God, you didn't mean that. He did mean it. But it wasn't the time for Him yet to have the Son come, the Lord Jesus. He always had the Son coming, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's not a surprise to God. What Adam and Eve did was no surprise to God. It's part of God's program to have the tabernacle. As a matter of fact, this text actually says it. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 9. This tabernacle was a figure. It was laid down alongside of the events of that day to show you exactly what God had in mind. God had in mind a sacrifice, the washing of the priest, the holy place, the incense, and the Ark of the Covenant. That's a straight line there. God had all that in mind. It's not a surprise to Him that He put that stuff together. Do you know how many people were there when they had this tent established? Various suggestions are, I'm going to strike it about 3 million people. 3 million people. And this tent was what they had as the place where God would meet with them. This tent. I am told, I have not figured it out, but I'm told it would take 310 tank cars to give water to all these people. Per day. You want to build a tank that big enough, brother? How much food would it take? I understand, my figures are right, there were 30 boxcars that would take to feed all these people out there. Do you think God made a mistake in the wilderness? 310 tank cars per day to give these people water for their animals and for themselves, and then to feed them 40 boxcars of food every day. How do you like that one? I am told also that if you were to take these people and march them across abreast, it would take 50 people abreast to walk, to go and make a move. 50 people for 3 million people to move. How often did they move? Well, you check out their wilderness journey. And when did they move? They moved when the Lord made them move. And they never moved until He told them to move. This tent, what was it anyway? Last week we gave you the text, but I want to read it for you this morning. Exodus chapter 40. This is fabulous. Don't miss this. Exodus chapter 40. The last chapter of Exodus. It's called a Mishkan. It's a Mishkan. It's translated tabernacle in verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a Mishkan. The glory of the Lord filled that tent. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, the Mishkan. The Chavod is the word for glory. It filled it. Milah. We call this the Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory. You've got it in your notes for last week. The Shekinah glory. Why Shekinah? Because Shakan, from Mishkan. Shakan is the verb. Mishkan is the noun form. It's the tabernacle. It's the place of the Lord's presence. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the Mishkan, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle, the Mishkan, by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Hey, 3 million people had a place where God was. His presence was there. His glory was there. We don't have a place like that today. We have a humble place like this. That was an ornate place. You read about from chapter 25 in the book of Exodus all the way to the 40th chapter. The curtains, the pins, everything that was in there was ordered by the Lord. This is not stuff that somebody thought up by Moses. God told him to do this. This is an incredible thing. That was where God's presence was. But the key was that in the Ark of the Covenant, where the tables were there, the testimony of the law, with the Ten Commandments were there. This text tells us there were two other things. But they were rebellious items, as I suggested last week. But we do know those Ten Commandments were inside there. And God had all this stuff. It seems to me that we ought to take cognizance of this in a special way. And say, well, what's this all about? God wanted men to have access to Him. This is His way of doing it. And He put a tent out there for them. And He put a Mishkan, a tabernacle. This thing. That's where He met with the people. And He said, you do it my way or don't do it at all. What do we do today? Do we do the same way? Well, look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9. Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, but not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The priest went in the first one, the holy place. The high priest went in the Holy of Holies, and he did it once a year, and he went in there with blood. And when he offered his sacrifices, he did first for himself and then for the errors or the misdeeds of the people. He had to do this. How would you like to go to church that way? Bring your bullocks or whatever's necessary. Bring your chickens. I found in Johannesburg some of the people trying to mimic what was here. It'll never be done. The reason being, God has changed the thing. This is what we call progressive revelation. It was preparatory for what was yet to come. Did God know it was going to come? Sure, Genesis 3:15. No question about it. But this is what he had planned so that we get a picture of what he wants us to follow. That's why you get this word in verse number 9. It's a figure. And when they offered gifts and sacrifices, which are still needed, not gifts and sacrifices. We've got the gift and we've got the sacrifice, even the Lord Jesus. But those gifts and sacrifices could not make him that did the service perfect. The worshiper was never made perfect. I've got those 3 points for you on the second page. He never made them perfect. And especially in one area, conscience. I was interested in what our brother prayed for this morning. Do you remember the stuff that you did before you got saved that you wish you could forget? They're hard to forget, aren't they? They're embedded in your conscience. And you say, man, I wish I could get that obliterated. Well, this never dealt with it. They had gifts and they had sacrifices, but they could never take away the problem with the conscience. They said the reason was, this is the ground of it, because they only had meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances. All they had was earthly stuff, external stuff. That's all they had. My friend, you have something more and I have something more than its externals. It's not how you wear your dress or your hair or your trousers or your tie or whatever. That doesn't make you a Christian. There, you did what you were told to do. Here, you do by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have access through Him. But notice this, please. He says, all that was imposed, it was insisted upon in the Old Testament. You had no option until the time of Reformation. Until that time of Reformation. Reformation means the time of the New Covenant, the New Testament. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, when He came, that went out. Moses was there until grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now let me help you, dear people. Don't forget the major issue in these verses. You notice in verse number 8, he says that the Holy Ghost was signifying, making plain that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. It was not yet open. This tabernacle was witnessing to the people of limitations. Of somebody say, this far and no more. But now, God's opened that door. He's pulled the veil down. And he said, you can come inside. Now, wait a minute. Who was inside there? Well, the whole thing spoke about his presence. It was the Mishkan. But there was a special place where he really was, at the ark. And it says they had the cherubim over there. And where were the cherubim? They were on the mercy seat. That was the mercy seat. It was the lid over the ark. And the cherubim were there. And he says, that's where I'll meet with you. I'll meet you at the mercy seat. May I suggest something to you that I intimated just a few minutes ago? Many of us, many of God's people,
They go through all that's necessary, and they are there, but they really don't know the presence of the Lord. Christian living is a tough road to hoe, they say. With Him, in His presence, since the veil is down, we can go inside and be right with Him. Do you know what it means to have an unhindered relationship with the Lord inside the veil? Are you an inside the veil Christian, or are you in the holy place Christian? I think there are two levels here. There are two places and there are two levels. But we got a high priest who is Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek, our Lord Jesus Christ. So He's taken us inside the veil, inside the holy place. Have you gone inside there with Him? Do you know what it means to have a sweet fellowship with the Lord? Or are you just, well, I got to read my Bible, I got to pray, I got to give my money, I got to go to church, I got to. Everything is a forced issue. You're forced to do it. No. In the Old Testament, they had to do these things. In the New Testament, under grace, under God's wonderful grace, we do it because we love Him. How can I communicate this to you? You don't, maybe this is a poor illustration, but you don't take your wife out on a Valentine's Day because you have to. That's the holy place. But you go inside in the Holy of Holies because you want to. You love her. You appreciate it. That's the difference. You don't have children and then say, my, these kids are getting in my way. No, God gave them to you as a gift of love. And you appreciate that. And so you love Him more. I think that's what our brother was praying about this morning, that we might be made more like the Lord. That's Romans chapter 8, isn't it? Being in conformity to Him. This ought to be our passion and the desire to be inside the veil, not on the outside. And you'll notice what the Bible says here, that the Holy Ghost was signifying this. I learned this years ago, may I say it to you? If you're in right relationship with Christ, you are a Christian. If you're in right relation to the Holy Spirit, you're a spiritual Christian. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know what His claim is on you? The Bible does say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How much of you does He have? Does He have the total of you? This is kind of a personal matter, but somebody mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago that the Super Bowl, and I tried to get them to come to church, and they said, well, but that's Super Bowl day. And I said, well, I'm not asking you to come at night, I'm coming at the morning. Oh, that's different. It won't interfere then. Does your family sometimes get between you and the Lord? Some personal matter get between you and the Lord? This is a Holy Spirit stuff. I don't want to say this in a bad way, but we need the old Pentecostal fire. We need the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts, where God is doing something with us. Don't be afraid and be fanatical, brother. Be sincere about it. The Bible does say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us, and we're not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we are glorified, God, with our bodies and with our spirits. I mean, this is touchy stuff, see? And pastors are not supposed to meddle. But somebody's got to tell you. And I assume that responsibility this morning on the basis of this text. The veil is down. Are you inside there with Him? Do you know what it means to have a work of the Holy Spirit? It's interesting to me that God puts the word of Holy Spirit here. He's teaching us through this tabernacle, through this whole issue. There's something more than what they had. We've got more. And we ought to be enjoying that and entering into it. Can I say this? Be a Holy Ghost Christian. This might be misunderstood, but be a Pentecostal Christian. It was at Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was sent out. Be that kind of a person who is dominated by the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. There's so many passages of Scripture to talk about this. And that's what He's telling us here. And all this is a figure. It's a picture. It's an object lesson. This is what I ought to be inside the veil. Why? Because Luke's gospel says the veil was rent in twain when He was on the cross. Oh, I tell you, there's no reason to be an ordinary priest. You can be along with a high priest inside the veil, right with Him. Because He's inside the veil. Read it in Hebrews chapter 6. He's inside the veil. That's where we should be. With Him. Enjoying His presence. Enjoying what He wants us to know and understand. I hope that your heart will be stirred up, my brother and sister, to know this by His infinite grace. What level are you living in your Christian life? Have you had access through faith in the Lord Jesus? If you have you had access all the way through the holy place into the Holy of Holies? May God grant this for His glory. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for these wonderful truths. And I cry out to Thee, Lord, this morning, along with the believers here, God, change us. Make us different. Make us people who live where Thou art and where Thou dost live in us as well as we live with Thee. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have our lives completely given over to Him. Nothing of self, nothing of our vain glory, but all for Him. Oh God, please hear us. We call to Thee as believers in Christ. If there's somebody here who's not a Christian, who has never had the access to God by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, oh, touch their hearts, Lord, and may they turn to Thee today. Hear us in this, our prayer. We're going to sing, Lord, and as we sing, speak to our hearts. Help us to sing from our hearts to Thee, Lord, and give Thee praise and honor and glory that belongs to Thy holy name. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One of Israel. Oh Lord, work amongst us, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.